teaching us practically, and I'd like to turn back to Psalm 103, please. We won't stay there too long, but would like to just review briefly on what we discussed last night, and then we'll move forward. 103, and we'll start at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And then verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And then if you would please, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Father, we confess this morning the weakness of our own humanity in being able to drink in the vast, limitless nature of your love. And yet, Father, in all honesty, we understand there is no issue more pertinent and more needful in our lives than having the right kind of perspective on your wonderful eternal love. We do again agree with what has already been brought before you this morning. May the things that we hear be converted into habit. And we ask this for the glory of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like many, and because most of you don't know me, did not come from a home where the gospel was taught or preached. I came from a home where, obviously, money, as it is with so many today, was the chief object in life. I am originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and at one time that was known as the oil capital of the world, until Houston took it over, and then the Middle East took over. And when I was a young boy growing up, I was in a home that had already been destroyed by the pursuit of the dollar and all the associated ills that can come when the emphasis is just... I know those of you who are young and you're thinking in terms of when I get older, I want to have plenty of it. And I only want to say this, as you have already heard it said before, money will not make you happy. But it sure helps to have some every now and then. And I'll say that tongue in cheek. But I am in an experience from my childhood to tell you that money does not make you happy. We are often taught today that money is the object of our happiness. In other words, if I have plenty of money, I can do what I want to do. Most of you don't know this guy. Some of you will. Some of us, I will date myself. But Richard Burton was a famous actor about 40 years ago. He was probably one of the prince of actors in his ability to act. I did not care for his lifestyle after I came to know the Lord, but Richard Burton was a man who, he made no secret about it, lived a very open life of immorality and sin, and partied a lot. And I don't say that he was a necessarily bad, in the terms evil, hateful, you know, somebody evil or wicked or hateful, we have this kind of view of them. Okay? Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to scare some of you, but... Yeah. Some of you are wondering, okay, they got this boy where? Out of Arkansas. I understand now. Okay, it explains everything. Well, you'll have to tolerate me, I guess, for the rest of today and a little bit tomorrow. I hope I won't insult you. I don't tend to do that, but sometimes I learn by word pictures. And so I'm a person that sometimes likes to act out a little bit some of the things that we're discussing. And we do tend to do that, don't we? We tend to think of wicked people and sinful people and evil people as these very, very desperate, very dark, very corrupt and twisted individuals. But the truth be known. The truth be known, we are all desperate at heart. Is the intent of Romans 3:23, which we all can quote backwards and forwards and from the middle to the end and from the end to the beginning, and then you take the letters and jumble it up and still quote it. Part of the trouble is that we do not understand the glory of God. And we are not naturally about God's glory. That's almost foreign to us to think about Him getting the attention and the praise. Okay, so I'm back. Good. Part of the trouble is in all of these things, when we think about wickedness and we think about people living their lives, we never think much in terms of us living for our own pleasure and our own happiness as a very wicked thing. But it is. And you don't have to go out and commit crimes to be a person who would be a qualified candidate in the area of being wicked, in the sense of, hey, you know what? The Lord says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And we understand that with respect to, okay, I've lied. Okay, I've taken something maybe that didn't belong to me. I've had things that I can look to and say, yeah, those are the bad things in life. But what we don't like to meditate on is that we have all, like sheep, gone astray. But the real problem we have is that we turned every one of us to our own way. And so those are things that I know on a nice, cheerful Saturday morning, we're going, boy. That's not really pleasant to listen to, but it's a reality. And that's what the Lord Jesus came into this world to rescue us from, is our own way. And Richard Burton may not look at, and he like I said, he did things that were not good, but he was a fairly average individual by today's standards, just looked happy-go-lucky, partied all the time, had no time for the Lord. On his deathbed, when he died, he left a note. And the note read just like this. The days are over. It is now time to pay. Wow. And revelries, for those of you that don't understand what the definition means, the party is over. It's now time to pay up. See, Richard Burton understood that to go your own way is to ignore the great, great, wonderful beauty of God's love. And we're all, in one sense, in some form or another, if we were to look at it in this sense of the comprehension, and at least think a little bit about what God's love is, we're all at points, at different times in our lives, even as believers, in a state of unbelief with respect to the love of God. And I want to say that I'd like to deal with it from the perspective this morning that the love of God is not based or started or has any real credence in our lives on the basis of how we feel it. I would say that probably most in here this morning would say, I don't know that I feel the love of God very much. Austin and I were talking last night and just celebrating in the common knowledge of a good friend of ours who's now home with the Lord. And I asked him one time as a young pup, and I said, brother, I said, tell me, what's it like to your age? And he was 70 plus young years of life. And I said, I want to know what it's like spiritually. I want to know how you feel about the Lord and how your feelings are. What's it like to know the battle's all done and you've arrived? And I wasn't saying that. It's kind of what I was fishing for. And he looked at me and he said, John, do you really want to know how I feel? I said, yes, I do. He said, I feel about as spiritual as a goat. I went, okay, thank you. Next. You see, we feel like we've got to feel God's love in order to count on being loved. And we make a humongous mistake. That's why there are so many movements in Christianity today that put the emphasis upon the feeling. And I want to say something at this point. Biblical Christianity is not devoid of feeling. Sometimes we tend to think, if we're really walking right with the Lord, you know, we ought to be able to say, yes, I know, I'm loved. And if a person says that, but they know it and they mean it, that's the truth. The truth of it is that that's what counts. But the love of God understood and taken in and meditated on is what produces the emotion. It's what produces the peace. It's what produces the sense of security and well-being. It's that center pole of the security that all of us ache for, and when that goes, so do we. So I want to say this again to the young listeners, and I remind myself as well, you will not do very well feeling the love of God, trying to grasp the love of God by saying to yourself, I don't feel it, or I want to feel love. That's why people today say, I don't think anybody loves me. Or, I don't feel anybody loves me. And that's why we have to take what we are thinking about and say, where did our thinking come from? Why do you feel you're not loved? We are as we think. Solomon just pounded that through the book of Proverbs. We are what we think. So if you think that you're not loved, and I'm not on a power of positive thinking, what I am asking us to rejoice in, I believe what the Lord is presenting for us, is who do you believe? Do you believe the inward barking of your emotions and yourself? Or do you believe what I have declared? Do you believe what I have written down in unmistakable terminology? And that's why I say, if you really want to know the Lord, I mean really know Him, it isn't just a matter of reading the Bible and saying, yeah, I know that. Joy of understanding that the Lord wants us to slow down and stop on these passages that are absolutely critical to our spiritual well-being. And meditate on them. Think about them. And that's why I felt that it was appropriate last night to start with this passage in Psalm 103. verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those that fear Him. And we talked last night about comparison, how we as people make comparisons. I do it when I get ready. All the things in that category that I'm looking for because I want the best deal. I want the best car. So I'll compare the worst model with the best model. You can get on Edmunds.com. You can go MSN.com, hit auto, and reports, and you can read what the people are experiencing with their automobiles, and you can make a comparison. Do I want to drive around with a car that the transmission goes out every 30,000 miles? Or do I want to drive in a car where the engine and transmission go for over 225,000 miles and they don't have to put a wrench on it? Does it ride well? Does it smell well? Does it handle well? You say, what? Wait a second. Does it ride well? I could go there. Does it smell well? What are you talking about? Smell. Well, some cars, they don't have any capacity to change their filtration system, and whatever it is inside the internal of the car's airflow system, mold and dust and things get in there, and sudden blow the air, and you go, and you're going, it's like, yikes, this car's been parked in a mold factory somewhere, and it just stinks. Well, I'm being a little, but you understand what I'm pointing at. We make those comparisons. We compare everything we're interested in, and we do the evaluation. And God says, I'm just asking for your well-being and my glory that you look at what I've said about I think about you. This always shuts people up. Especially young people, because they know speakers do these things for object lessons, and they're all wondering, uh-oh, there's a quick grab for $40. Whoa! Now I'm plugged in. This gets our attention. It gets my attention. It's got my attention. John, you really need that $40, buddy. Now, because we are by nature sinners, and the carcass of that old flesh will hang with us until we get the exchange, which means we get new bodies. We still struggle with this issue of how valuable am I in the presence of God, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and do sin any time of day or night. But I'm talking about the kind of love that literally transforms a person's life. That's the kind of stuff that I know you and I ache for. We don't want religion. I don't want to go and be part of a system of a bunch of rules. I want to go where the Lord is. I want to be in the presence of the living Spirit of God, where His Spirit is manifesting Himself in the character and the development of the inward man, where Christ is lifted up. I mean literally where Christ is seen, not as, oh, the right thing to do here is to lift Christ up. But where He is, precious. And that preciousness flows out in the body. So some of you are saying, get on with the money, Heller. All right. Now, God says that I love you with an everlasting love. He declared that to Jeremiah. He is declaring it here to the psalmist. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And what we were discussing last night is that the vast expanses of the heavens are a tool that God has asked us to use as a measuring stick with respect to how much He loves us. So you take your physical measuring stick out now and you measure how high the heaven is and you tell me how high it is. Somebody tell me how high heaven is. It's real high. As Dee told me last night, I believe one of her grandchildren said it like this, "Well, where is heaven?" And the best way to answer a question is to ask a question, "Where do you think heaven is?" And he thought for a moment, popped back and said, "It's behind the stars." I like that answer. It's behind the stars. Do we hear the heart of God? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those that fear Him. Now, in case you're worried about, do I fear the Lord? Because we tend to take everything and turn it into a work. I don't know about you, but I'm a world's expert on taking all of the grace of God and turning it into a work of qualification. I am interested in works, and you understand this, God is too. But how those works come out, there's man's way and there's God's way. And man's way is to pull himself up by his bootstraps and get qualified. God's way is to give you the capability to do it, and then He works it out. I know I'm rambling this morning, but you know what, folks? We've got so much knowledge. Don't you know we do? We've got more knowledge than we know what to do with. I'm sorry, but the little preacher from Arkansas is not going to razzle-dazzle you with some newfangled... And I don't mean, even if it's the Word, you've never seen it before, that's precious. That's what. But my heart, my passion, the goal of being together like this is that our spirits are warmed up. And we get a view of how precious the love of God is. And we do not have to manufacture that love. Some of you are saying, "Please, John, this is what I want to hear about." All right. So, to put this a little bit in perspective about God's love, and we're going to go back and anchor this down with some truth. When I say that I am going to give this $40 out, there's some things, though, that I want you to know about this $40 before you take it. Germs. If you don't think I'm not serious about this. Yeah, some of you are already going. Huh? Oh. Now, that is just a very clean way of demonstrating the tragedy that has struck the entire human race. That is a very antiseptic, very polite way to use a simple illustration to say,
how far we are outside of Jesus Christ from being able to know the Lord ourselves. There's no hope of any human being able to say one thing good about themselves with respect to gaining eternal life. Now, when we think about the love of God, God loves us. The value of us did not change because of sin. Now you say, well, I don't know that I go all the way with you there. Let me just say this. God demonstrated the value that He has for the human race when all were plunged deep in their own rebellion and sin. We estimate the value of something by the price we are willing to pay for it. That's why this old boy from Arkansas just says, you know, I guess we are from the slow state. But it's a good thing sometimes to be slow. Slow from moving on when we shouldn't move on. Where we should learn to linger and stay a while longer. For as the heavens are high above the earth. One last couple of things, and then I'll get off of my galactic kick. It is estimated that there are 50 million galaxies that we know of. Galaxies. 50 million. All, if you average them out, the size of our own galaxy, the Milky Way, which is about 50,000 light years in circumference, in radius. And I'm using general terms, but I get these figures from people who say they're in the know. And within every one of those 50 million galaxies that scientists believe they know about at this time, each galaxy contains 50 to 100,000 stars. That means in our own galaxy, there are from anywhere from 50 to 100,000 stars in the Milky Way galaxy. The nearest galaxy is Abel 2029, and it is 1,070 million light years away. That's the nearest galaxy to us. 1,070 million light years away. They estimate that right now, to the best of human understanding, there are 10 with 22 zero stars that we're aware of. 10 with 22 zero. I don't know what. How do you call that number? Nano, nocto, bidilzigila, gigabidzibozizillions? I don't know. I don't think they have a term for that. Maybe they do. I'm you know, Arkansas, you're... And God says, measure my love on that standard. I'm not asking. God says, I don't want you to try to feel. I want you to bang on it. God says, I want you to hear me. God says, I'm calling to your belief. And you know, we all say, I just can't believe. And I can't get into the theology of the deep issues of that aspect, but I do understand this. When I stand before Him in that day, I know one thing. I will not be able to utter an excuse to Him that'll wash. In other words, all the arguments I might make in His presence, I will immediately understand they don't work. And it's not because He's the trickster of the universe. He is the most straightforward of anyone I know. Folks, this is the battle right here. This is the battle. May I say this as lovingly as I know how? God has given me a great compassion for the Muslim community. And there's one thing about a Muslim, if he's honest with you, will tell you they are not quite certain about the aspect of Allah loving them. As a matter of fact, in all of the writings that they have, they do not yet can say with a clear conscience they have a good grip on what Allah's love is like. And it is up to Him to do what He wishes. And He may choose to love you and He may not. And He might let you know about it after you die. Now let me just say this in contrast. Well, God loved you with an everlasting love. And even though we say, well, that's quoted to the children of Israel. Remember, the children of Israel were a case sample that God chose to set before the entire world and say, this is how I want to deal with the whole world. And so when we began to drink in these realities, we began to realize this world is hard for genuine love. That's why I used that issue last night of U.S. News and World Report to quote, what is the number one thing that Americans want? And without any issue, really, love was at the top of the list, overwhelming. Now, the point we are seeking to make love of is that we are not going to do much until we are convinced of His unconditional love. We aren't going to really see things in the perspective that we would like to see them until we are thoroughly bathed in the love of God. And I'm not talking about a weak sentimentality type of love that excuses our wrongdoings and cuts us free and lets us go and do whatever we want to do to the ruination of our own lives. But I'm talking about a love that is so wonderfully, eternally solid that it just cannot be shaken. It's this kind of love that's pulling us away from our human concepts of what love is really all about. In a human sense, and there is a certain sense of validity in it, when we love as humans, we love basically on the premise of the merit see in the other person. And we say, well, there should be that. And then there is an element of that. But then when we start transferring that kind of thinking back to our spouses, our children, our fellow believers, those that are on this planet, the tragedy is that we take that same kind of standard of love that have accepted for our own kind of standard, and we issue that back to others around us. And we have to be careful that when we give love, that we give it as God has given it to us. Not as we have been happy with it in our human level of acceptance.
Well, I'll love a person as long as they don't pull boogers out of their nose in front of me.
And I do agree that is terribly distasteful.
Well, I'll love them if they won't put them on the wall while I'm looking.
Some of you are snickering. Some of you are going, please. But think with me about the things you detest the most. And then think in terms of what the Lord Jesus detested the most. And then compare. I've given up hope of that preacher ever doing anything with that money. But the point I want to make is this. And pick me up. You may have come from a very godly home. But sin is simply saying, no thanks, God. No thanks. All we like sheep. Each one of us, we've turned our own way. But the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You know, I like that term iniquity there because iniquity is the word in the Hebrew for deliberate rebellion against Him. And so what was ugly because of the defilement of sin? God never lost sight of the fact that He loved them with an everlasting love. And when a person exits this life, they make the choice of whether they want to exit God's love, not God. I don't understand all the theological implications of it, but I'll know this. You will too. And all will in that day. Some will say on one side of the fence, the chosen of God. But on the front side of it, it said, whosoever will. I know that is so worn out and beat up and used and abused. But folks, I don't know how else to deal with it. But I do know this. All humans ultimately make a choice. And the choice comes down to a personal relationship with the living God. And God will deal with the dirties. Not so that we can become valuable, but so that He can take the value, clean it thoroughly, and it will never be able to get dirty again. The moment we believe. Now some of you are saying, John, your illustration is breaking down here, buddy, because somehow I still feel that the contamination is on those dollar bills. But would that prevent anybody from wanting to take $40 right now? Who wants it? Who wants it more than anybody? No trouble. Now look, that was $40. That might have H1N1 all over it. But no trouble. Was there any trouble? Was there any real hesitation? I mean, we knew this was coming to this. But still, when the moment was there, right? Did he feel warm and fuzzy about the $20 bill?
Oh, I just love those little $20 bills. I just can't stand to be all alone down there. I just have such compassion.
Well, this we know. God. So loved. So loved you.
hasn't turned off the hot side. Some of you wonder.
What?
You see, long before Krispy Kreme became a U.S. phenomenon, it was a closely guarded secret here in the South. And the reason I know that is because even long before I got to Greenville, South Carolina, that beautiful production factory out there on, I don't know what road it is. Yes, that's it. Good on you, bro. As a college student at Bob Jones University, I just go by that. It just thrilled me to no end to see all those donuts just cooking in oil. I mean, just clogging artery, just instant attack oil. And then the most favorite part of it all, and you know I'm being goofy, and I'm not trying to be that way to be silly, but that beautiful waterfall of sugar as it goes over. And then the moment they eat a Krispy Kreme is when, out on our way, they put a hot sign on. And you get in there and you act like you're the first customer in the line. And they just stack, they just picking them right off of the belt. And you just go on. And some of you are wondering, where are we going with all this? Every time I see the hot sign on the Krispy Kreme, I know people's, there are better donuts on the planet. I understand that. Okay. And my wife is from the North, and she would agree. But my tendency is every time I see that red sign. And what I meant by the hot sign is always on and is always down. God's love isn't any stronger than the moment you cross heaven's shore than right at this moment. I'll make up for lost time in the next meeting. Let's pray. Our Father, we do ask that as we contemplate these things, each of us are wired differently and each of us take a different approach. But Father, to look at your immense diversity, we have no question that you meet every human being right at the need of where they are. And Father, we are grateful to you for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came and was in full agreement without any reservation about your love and the purpose to demonstrate eternal love. Help souls that maybe don't know him, maybe this weekend, they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time as their Savior and Lord. Father, if any of us are cold, if any of us are deeply disheartened and discouraged, Father, we know your desire is to meet us right where we are. Continue, Father, your work for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.